The book of Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And you might say, well, now, wait a minute. You've already preached that message. I've heard that one this morning. Well, this is a different one from the same text, okay? Matthew 28, verse 18, 19, and verse 20. Tonight, I'd like to just kind of use this as a jumping off place, I guess. But this is our job. This is the church's job, and this is the job that God has given to us. This is the last thing that Jesus Christ said. Well, almost the last thing He said before He ascended back unto His Father. You can check that out back in the book of Acts chapter 1. He repeated that. He gave the great commissions in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. So I think Christ is really telling us that we need to be spreading the gospel. And of course, that DVD that was played back there this afternoon, that's what that's about, is just how to go about doing those things that we know we ought to be doing. That, I mean, that's what it's about. And the things that is talked about is the fear that we face, the rejection, the embarrassment, and all that kind of stuff. And everybody's got that. That's just the way it is. But tonight, as we look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 18-20, tonight we want to title this message, The Joy of Spreading the Gospel. You know, it's really a joy. Don't you think about it. There's something about telling the gospel that's satisfying. Because you know you're doing what you ought to be doing. You know it. And when you and think about it, there can be all this fear and dread, apprehension before you go. Or do you just... You may have been in a store somewhere, and that's why I like to do it. I'm not a good door knocker. But I like to talk to folks in Orson's or Walmart store or at the gas pump or whatever. And they'll be standing there, you know, and it just comes up. You just kind of natural conversation. You just talk a little bit. And first thing you know, you can talk to them about the Lord. You know how it is when the Lord just puts it on your heart. So you need to talk to them. So you just open your mouth, you just say it. And whatever they do with it is okay. But you've said it, and man, that's just a joy to get to say that. Right? I mean, that's just good. It's just good to do that. And if you don't get to tell it for a while, don't you get to thinking, well, I need to get it out of my mouth. Right? I need to say it, right? I mean, that's the way I am. Because I just want to tell it. Because the Lord's good to us. Let's read here. In Matthew 28, verse 18, 19, 20 again. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, I like that, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. So when you go, you've got the power of God. You think about that. This is the joy of spreading the gospel. We got the power of God. God is there. Think about that. God is present when it comes our time to tell the gospel. You're not there alone. Boy, that's a relief. I don't have to get it all figured out. Ooh, boy, that's good. What if they ask something I don't know? That's all right. God knows the answer. So what if He don't give it to me? Well, maybe He don't mean to give it to you. Maybe He wants you to go study it a while. Tell them. I don't know. I'll go study it a while. I'll come back. See, there's a joy. There's a joy. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We read that this morning. Read tonight. Same message. Different title. The joy of spreading the message. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that You might bless Your word. Help me, Lord, to say what I need to say. And Lord, I pray that I might be what I need to be before You. Watch over me, Father, because I need You every day. Bless me and keep me. Lord, may Your will be done. Help me to be true to You and understand Your word and Your will. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. The joy of spreading the gospel. Let's say that for you, it's been a while since you shared the gospel story. Let's say for you, it's been a few days. But you do remember how it used to be. You remember when you were first saved? Was it 5 years ago or 50? Closer to 50, huh? Wasn't that a joy? Boy, I mean, the Lord turned that all around. You remember when you were lost? Boy, that old ache in your heart and the burden. Just like, it was almost heavy, wasn't it? It was almost like, I don't think I can carry this around anymore. The Lord just burdens you down. We use those words as if it is a weight. And the Bible uses those words. You know, lay aside the weight that thus so easily beset you and run with patience. So we lay aside that. You remember how good it was to meet together with the people of God and to study His Word? Well, I mean, it was a joy and a thrill just to be with the people of God. It was good to sit down and read your Bible and understand what it says. It was just good. When you had a question, you were not really too embarrassed about answering or getting an answer to that question. You felt pretty free to go and talk to somebody. Maybe you had a special person that you consulted together with and you were able to get some answers. But you remember how it was when you would read your Bible daily and you would study it. And it was just such a good, good thing. Is it still that way? I don't know about you. You know, but sometimes when you've been saved a while, it's kind of like you're glad you're saved and all that. But the joy is not like it used to be exactly. I mean, there's still a contentment about it, still a peace about it. But the joy, the overspreading joy, it's not there. It ought to be there. It's kind of like in a marriage. You know, sometimes after a person's been married for about 50, 60, 80 years, maybe 100 years, the joy of the marriage at the very beginning is different. You know how it was at the beginning, don't you? Now, I got a couple of expressions right then. I got some says, yeah. And I got some that's kind of going this way at me. I just wondered how long ago it was. But some of it wasn't that long ago. But you know, you remember how it was when a glance could speak volumes. Remember that? Well, see, a glance still does, but the glance is different. Well, it shouldn't be. You know. But you remember the joy of being with your new groom, the new bride. You remember the joy and the anticipation and the secret glances and all of that. You know, marriage should continue to be that way. And it doesn't always continue that way, but it ought to continue to be that way. We are people, and sometimes we lose that joy. But we shouldn't. It should still be there. It should still be prevalent with us. There ought to be a happiness to be with one another. There ought to be a happiness to be with the Lord. But there's a joy in spreading the gospel that maybe we need to be renewed. Part of that is this revival that we anticipate in July with Brother Ted Tweet coming. And of course, we need to be enjoying the Word of God and let it be a pleasure to us. We ought to fix our minds. And you know as well as I do that our emotions play all kinds of tricks on us. And sometimes our emotions get us working one way when we really ought to be working the other way. Sometimes our emotions put us down in the doldrums when we really ought to be encouraged. And sometimes our emotions would encourage us blissfully whenever we really should be kind of overly concerned and anxious. But we tell ourselves we need to look positively at the facts and not let our emotions drive us. We need to let the Lord's Word guide us, right? I mean, that's what we tell us. That's what we tell ourselves. And whatever God's Word says, that's what we ought to do. And God's Word said about when we look at circumstances around us that we shouldn't be overly concerned or anxious about those circumstances. Rather, we should look to the Lord and let Him take care of whatever's in front of us. I mean, catastrophic as it might seem. Let the Lord take care of it. Right? That's what you call living by faith, isn't it? Because you're believing the Lord, not the circumstance. Right? We do the same thing in our marriage. We do the same thing in spreading the gospel. We just do what we're supposed to be doing. That's where our joy is. That's where it comes from. It's doing every day what we know we should do. Now, we can go about that with a bad attitude, but tonight we just want to talk about the joy of spreading the gospel and what a pleasure it is. We want to look at some things tonight. I've got five things written down here that I'd like to cover tonight about just the joy of spreading the gospel. The first thing I'd like to look at is this, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7 is that we have this holy spiritual message in an earthen vessel. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. Let's just read this verse. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. And look here what the Bible said. And what a great thing this is. But we need to stop and think about what a great thing that we have in our possession. He says, Paul says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." That's the only verse I want to read there. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. What kind of treasure? We've got a treasure that is greater than any treasure that there ever was. We have it. It's not that we're trying to get it. We already have it. It's not that we're trying to be saved. We already are. God has given to us a treasure that's greater than all of the money in all of the world. He has given to us a power that is greater than all the power of all the nations of all the earth. He's given to us life-changing message. Now, look up here. He says in verse 1, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." That is, Paul's going to go ahead and preach it. Verse 2. "But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness." And here's a story. We don't have to be tricking anybody. We can be honest right up front about it. "Nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." There it is. That's a good way to present the gospel. It's just with honesty and complete, absolute sincerity before God, and say, "This is what God's Word said, and you just look at it yourself." Let the individual look at it. Give them your personal testimony. In verse 3, he says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But we preach, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." We're not there to impress anybody with us. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is to point people to Jesus Christ, because He's their answer. We're not. I give you another shock. Our church is not the answer either. Jesus is. When they get Jesus right, they'll want the fellowship in the church. I mean, that's where that is. Then he says, verse 5, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." For God who, and his emphasis there is that we're servants. This is what we're doing. We're not to elevate ourselves. We're supposed to talk about Christ. He's the one. "For Christ, for God who commended the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts." See, that right there is an absolute wonderful thing. Because we were in darkness, lost, going to hell and not even caring. But it's God who shined and woke us up. "And He gave us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What a blessing it is to know that we have this treasure. We got it. It's a fact. Hey, you have to think about it yourself, I guess. If all the world was like you, and you were like you ought to be, wouldn't that be wonderful? Boy, it sure would. Of course, my problem is being like I need to be. Well, that's another issue, but we have the treasure. We have the means. We have the knowledge of what can make it all work and what will make it all right. And so that's a great thing. See, that's a joy. And we need to understand that. What God has given to us as believers is what everybody needs. But He's given it to us. It's a blessing that we have this. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is point number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In this place, we're going to read beginning in verse 14. And here we find that Paul had no ambitions of boosting himself before anybody. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, if you read here in verse 11, back up just a little bit. The church at Corinth had a problem. He said, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. So now Paul is writing to a local church at Corinth, and he says, the house of Chloe has told me that you've got a problem. Now I like that verse. Let me tell you why. Paul did not have to write and say, well, somebody told me, but I can't tell you who it was. And the house of Chloe lived there, evidently. And they were willing to tell Paul, you can use my name. Which is always a good thing. So that's what they did. In verse 12. Now this I say, here's the problem. That every one of you saith, you got this fourfold division here. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. Everybody fit into a group. All right? And there were contentions because of that. Because some people follow Peter, some follow Paul, some follow Apollos, some followed Christ. Then he said in verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Now, beginning reading here in verse 14, Paul, you'll see here, does not desire to elevate himself to any kind of position at all. And that's not our job either. He said in verse 14, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. I think that's interesting if anybody believes in baptismal regeneration. Because if they believe that people are saved by being baptized, and Paul was saying, thank God I didn't baptize any of you. See, Paul is saying, hey, baptism has nothing to do with salvation. But I didn't even baptize any. I don't want any of you following me, is what he's saying. So lest any of you should say, I baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. He didn't even keep up with it. Why is that? Because God's record book is a lot better than men's. You don't have to keep up with all your converts. God can. Verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And that's what we have. This is this treasure that we have in earthen vessels. We're not to elevate ourselves. We are here to preach the gospel. That's it. Look what it says in verse 17. Not with wisdom of words. That's not what it's about. It's not about getting it all together because we will forget where we put it. Sure as the world. It's not about that at all. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So he's not asking for eloquence. He's not asking for eloquent preachers. or eloquent witnessing. That's not where the joy is. But the joy is in the proclamation of what the truth is. That's what it is. Notice in verse 18, he says, "For," that is, "because the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." A lot of people that are dying and going to hell, preaching the cross don't do any good at all. But he says, to us that are saved, it is the power of God. That's where it's at. That's where God reveals His strength. You think about it. When we do not witness, we do not see the power of God. When we do not witness, when we do not tell about Jesus, then we will not see the power of God. But if we tell about Jesus, then we're going to see His power. You want to see the power of God in your workplace or in your play place or in your home or wherever? You want to see the power of God? Then tell about the power of God. Then tell about the cross. Tell about it. You see, that's what He's saying here. That's what it's about. Not about us. It's not about people following us. It's about people following Christ. I heard a preacher say one time that he had made a few converts in his life. He regretted every one of them because they were all dislike him, and when he looked at him, he didn't like any of them. And I'm thinking, well, sure, but what if there's a convert made and they're just like Christ? Wow, then you've got to love them. And it's easy to love them because they're just like Christ. See, it's not about us. But it's about Christ. It's about Him. It's about His way and not about ours. Point number 3 is in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. We can't save any sinners, but we can declare the gospel to them. And in declaring the gospel, there's oftentimes this fear that accompanies the joy. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. Here is what the Apostle Paul said. Now, I'm not reading to you about what I wrote. I'm reading to you about what the Apostle Paul said. And the Apostle Paul is probably the greatest missionary that ever lived. As far as the miles he traveled, as far as the messages that he preached, as far as the continuation of the work that he started. There's probably none that could surpass him at all. God used him in a great way, but here's what he said. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." You ever had that thought on your mind? God lays somebody on your heart and you go to them and you don't know what you're going to say, but you want to tell them and you're afraid to tell them and you're afraid not to tell them and it burns in you to tell them. And here's what he says in verse 3. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Now, who am I writing about? Am I writing about me? No. Paul is writing about himself. And when he came to the church at Corinth, this is not the first church he started. The church at Corinth is not the first church he started. I mean, he's not just right out of the box. He's a seasoned missionary when he gets to Corinth. But he said, when I came to you, I came with a broken heart. I came with a burdened heart. I came desiring just to preach Christ. That's all I wanted to say. But I came in weakness and in fear and much trembling. In verse 4, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul, it's amazing when you think about him being the missionary that he was, and yet when he went to the church at Corinth, and he was full of weakness and fear and trembling. But I personally believe that's the way he was most of the time. Because he didn't want people following him, except as he followed Christ. He wanted folks to have their... He wanted them to be established, not in him, but he wanted them to be established in the Lord. That's what he wanted. And you can see it in here. In verse 5, if you connect verse 3, 4, and 5 here in these sentences, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And he approached it in such a way that God would reveal himself to the people there at Corinth. He said in verse 5, that your faith, Paul wanted their faith to not be in him, but to be in Christ. He wanted them to believe in him. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Want them to see more than just men. Want them to see God. The fact is, Paul couldn't save them. You know, Paul was the greatest missionary that ever lived. That's in my book. I got a little book. But you know, he couldn't save a soul. Did you know that Paul couldn't even save himself? Paul was on the road to Damascus, lost and happy about it. Well, he wasn't happy, but he was... You know what I mean. He didn't care. But the Lord broke him down. The Lord broke him down. And the Lord saved the Apostle Paul and turned his life around. The Lord made a difference. And that's what you want to the people you talk to. You want the Lord to touch them. You want the Lord to make a difference in them. You don't want them following you. You want them to follow the Lord. That's what it is. That's what it's about. And so that's what you do. You go to them. You go to them. And you're praying to the Lord all the time. And you're praying, Lord, give me words. And Lord, you put it in their heart. And I don't know how I can say it. And you get up there and really it happens to me all the time, and you're just looking at the person wondering what you're going to say next, and first thing you know it's coming out of your mouth. And you're saying, thank you, Lord. I mean, that's good. But you don't want people to follow you. You want them to follow the Lord instead. Well, we can't save people. But the Lord can. And his fear and his trembling was not about approaching people. It was about making sure that the power was not in him, but it was in the Lord. That's what his fear and his trembling and all of that was about. He wanted these people to trust Christ and not be just wowed over by his eloquent delivery. Point number 4 is found in this. The book of Matthew chapter 13. And I find myself, this is just a big comfort to me. The book of Matthew chapter 13. When I couple these things together, the first one is point number 1 is that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have within us, God has given to us a life-changing, a world-changing message that will bless lost people and help. We don't have to have any followers. That's not what we're about. But we're rather about pointing people unto Christ. We're with much fear and trembling as we present the gospel. Not because we're afraid of the people we're looking at, but because we want the Lord to reveal Himself. That's what it's about. But the next thing, point number 4 is found in the book of Matthew chapter 13. We don't have to worry about wasting seed. God's got plenty. The barns are full. Right? Use it. Don't worry about it. But notice something else. Everybody is not going to hear. We are given this authority to preach, to sow the seed, but the result is up to God. Matthew chapter 13, beginning here in verse 3. Notice here. He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now that's us. We're going out just putting out the gospel. You got a big old bag of gospel seed you got with you. You know, you got it with you, right? And you're just throwing it out there, just pitch it on out. We do those with CDs. We do those with tracts. We just pass them out. Well, people might throw them away. That's okay. That's their problem. Our problem is getting it out there to them. God will take care of all that. He said, when he sowed, look at this now. As we read this, you're going to see that there's one kind of seed, but there's four kinds of soil. Our issue is with the seed, not the soil. He said this. When he had sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. The fowls came and devoured them up. That's not our problem. The sower of the seed is never rebuked for sowing the seed by the wayside. Never rebuked for that. Verse 5. Some fell into stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. The one that sowed the seed is never rebuked because he sowed the seed in the stony places. Sowed the seed. God's got plenty of it. I mean, He's got plenty. You're not going to waste it. That's the thing about it. You're not going to waste it. You say, well, I don't see any results. It's not our problem. It's not our problem. It just might be that the seed you sow is the first seed that's ever gone into that ground. It might be that what's happening is that you're just kind of plowing a little bit in some rough ground. And maybe after that person's thought about what you said, in a month or a week or a day or maybe a year or maybe 10 years, somebody else will come along with another little plow and they'll plow some more. And somebody else, you know, and they'll put those two things together. But it could be that you're like number 3 in the process. It could be you're like number 55 in the process. You don't know. God knows about that. Just sow the seed. There's plenty. There's plenty. It won't be wasted. It will not be wasted. Don't worry about it. In verse 6, so when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. There was no rebuke for that. Verse 7, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. The one that sowed was not rebuked because they sowed the seed among the thorns. Not rebuked at all. Just sowed the seed. He said, well, they don't like it. That's their problem, not ours. See, we have this treasure. We have this treasure. Just sow the seed. Verse 8. But I like this one. Now, if you kind of look down through some of this, in verse 4, the verse starts with and. Then in verse 5, it starts with some, giving a description of where it fell. Verse 6 starts with and. Verse 7 starts with and. But I like this verse 8 that starts with but. I like that one better. Because I always like it when there's results. Good results. Not bad, but good results. But some fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100, some 60-fold, and some 30. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. See, we have this authority that God has given to us to sow the seed. It's up to the Holy Spirit of God what He does with it. And it's up to God when He does it. You can buy the best seed you know to buy, but only God can make it germinate. You planted your garden this year? I planted my garden. Got some good Fort Hook lima beans seed. Got some real good, best we knew to buy. I bet a third of them probably come up. Well, they didn't get a good crop of them at all. But you know what? I put them in the ground. And sometimes our spreading the gospel seed just exactly that same way. Sometimes some of it just don't come up. That don't mean we failed. So, well, you're just not a good gardener. Well, some of it came up. But my problem is you got to put it in the ground. You got to put it in the ground. Cover it up. Let it die. Let it germinate. Lord takes care of that hidden. And He'll bless it. He'll bless it. That's for sure. That's for sure. Well, so we need to sow the seed. Then, point number five is this. If there's anything in the world that's going to change this world, it's going to be the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If there's going to be anything, you think about it. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have the hope that this world needs. If there's anything that'll change wickedness into goodness, it's the gospel of Christ. This point will take us back to the start. Because the gospel is what changed us. And the gospel is what's going to change the next one. Look at this now. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. Paul writes to the Corinthians again, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Now notice what it says right here in this next verse. "And such were some of you." Now Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. These were church members. Well, they used to be doing all that stuff. They used to be doing that. They used to be fornicators and idolaters and adulterers, effeminate. They were abusers of themselves with mankind. There was all kinds of sin that you could think about. I could tell you what some of these words mean. And you would think, my, that person is just past being saved. No. No, some of these were little boy prostitutes. Some of them were sodomites. Some of them were idolaters. Some of them were fornicators, adulterers, thieves, drunkards. But he says in verse 11, you've been changed. You know what changed them? Somebody came to them with the gospel. Somebody brought them the gospel. Somebody, and I got a notion they weren't in church. I just got a notion they were not in church. It doesn't say where they were when the Lord saved them. But I got a notion they were not in church. I was saved in church. I was brought to church when I was a boy, taken all the time. But some folks don't have that blessing. Some of these folks were saved. Some of these folks heard the word before they got to church. Now, they are in church now. When Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, they were at church then. But that's after they were saved. See, and such were some of you, but you're washed. But you're sanctified, that is, you're set aside. Now you're justified, that is, you're made legally right in the sight of God Almighty. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Here's the thing. The gospel message that we're given, the command of God to take to the world, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, 19, and 20, is a life world changing message. It's what everybody needs. You see, without the gospel, look what's going on. Without the gospel of Christ, men are adulterers, they are idolaters, they are fornicators, they're effeminate. They're abusers of themselves with mankind. Without the gospel, there are thieves, there are covetous, there are drunkards, there are revilers, and there are extortioners. But with the gospel, they are washed. Their lives have been changed. They are not rehabilitated. They have been renewed. They are brand new creatures in Christ. Because somebody took them the gospel. Say, well, how did all that happen? I don't know all the circumstances of it. All I know is that these people scattered the seed. Now, you think about it. If you were looking at these people in verse 9 and 10, would you figure that those people was probably by the wayside? You know, sowing the seed by the wayside? Or would you figure that those people, they're in verse 9 and 10, wouldn't you figure that those people were just kind of, they were just on stony ground? Let's not waste any seed over there on that stony ground, because after all, it's stony ground. Or maybe by the wayside. I mean, they're not even in the field. After all, we don't want to waste the seed. And God said, just sow the seed. I'll take care of that. There may be one of mine over there. I know, when you think about it, I know you've seen that in the garden or in a field, a crop, where that there's a perfectly good plant with a perfectly good fruit growing up in the middle of a mess. You've gone to the place where there's rocks and there's a tree growing out of a solid rock. It looks like, how could it ever get any roots? God knows. God's showing us. He can do all of those things. The joy of spreading the gospel. Just take the message. And when you go, God puts it on your heart to speak to someone. You don't have to be anything formal. It can be very informal. Sometimes a passing word. Sometimes that's all it takes. It's whatever God gives you to give to them. That's what counts. And that's it. The joy of spreading the gospel. Remember, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Remember, we don't want folks following us. We want folks following the Lord. That's what we need to follow, is the Lord. We can't save sinners. We need to preach. We need to declare in fear and trembling, because we want God to bless His Word. It's serious business, but it's a great joy. Pray that God will bless His Word. And remember, there's plenty of seed. God knows the heart of the one it's fallen in. And every time I think about that, I think about what Brother Peacock told about giving out tracts. You remember the story how he gave the tract to the little old woman? First of all, I think he gave the tract to the big old burly-looking motorcycle guy. And he was scared to go up there and give the guy the tract. And the Lord kept telling him, you give that guy a tract. And he said, no! He's big and ugly and he's got hair all over him and, you know, he just don't look like he wants a track. But he did what the Lord told him to do, and the man was very kind. Well, thank you, sir. Thank you. This is exactly what I've been looking for. But encouraged by that, he went on into the store and gave the track to the little old lady who had an absolute fit. You remember the story and telling that. So we don't know. But the thing about it is, God is the one that takes care of all that. And He does. And then finally, remember that the message that we have has changed us. Listen, the gospel story, the gospel message has saved our eternal soul. And the gospel is what's made us what we are. And it can do the same thing for others. Be encouraged. Tell it. The gospel story changed us. Think about where you were. Think about where you were before you were saved. And the despair, the despondency, the hopelessness that you had. But think of what you got now. Wow! I want everybody to have this. I wish they had it. They got to hear it. They got to hear. That's what we need. If there's anything that'll change the world, it's going to be the gospel story. Jesus is the one that saves. He uses that word saves because that's really what it is. Jesus saves our soul from hell. He saves our life. He saves this body even, because it's going to be given a new body one of these days. Think about it. What a blessing it is. Well, we're going to quit with that. Trust us, this has been a blessing and a help to you. If you're here tonight and you're lost, I pray that God would bless you. Listen, if you're lost, you're missing out on what life is really all about. I mean, you're existing, that's true, but you're missing out on what life is all about, because it's about Christ. It's about us doing what He wants us to do and serving Him, being faithful to Him. It's a good life. It's a really good life. I highly, highly recommend it. We're going to stand, if you would, Brother Brian, if you come and lead us in this song. Pray that God will bless the night, His will might be done. If you need to make a move for the Lord, then you make it. If you're lost, trust the Lord. Let Him save you tonight if you're saved. And you've never been scripturally baptized, but you need to be, then tonight, just make that, come before the church and get that settled and go on to serve the Lord. And then, of course, be faithful to the Lord in whatever He lays upon you to do. Let's stand, if you would, as we sing this song, please.